zap, 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 tech, CES. That's what it is this time of year, 2021. Let's go. It's the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Zap, zap is a sound of tech happening, obviously. That's how it works. Cool. I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. And on the call with me today, I keep calling it a call. I'm really sorry, listeners. On the podcast with me today is...
Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
John McCann, Deputy Editor of Tech Radar.
James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
I really badly cramped. I'm sorry. I tucked my leg under the chair and it's like, I thought my leg was going to fall off. Oh, God. Sorry for the producer. I have to cut out a massive bang where I just slammed my chair into the desk. Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief, super professional podcaster at your service. Right, what are we going to talk about this week? Let's talk about CES. But before that, let's also use the big question from something about CES, which is, as you can probably tell, this year at the Consumer Electronics Show 2021, which is a very virtual event because we are not there. Just before we started the podcast recording, Cherie was regaling us with many tales of how she enjoys her time in Vegas while being equally as professional. And the fact we're missing out on that this year is something we just have to deal with. But there are still things happening. Things are emerging and being launched. And unfortunately, the stupid virus is making a big change in some things, including Razer, that computing components manufacturer in many ways, has made a mask for your face to allow you to, assuming obviously, negate the effects of breathing everywhere, but also to look a little bit fun. It's got RGB components on it, so you can, I don't know, put some lights on your face. I mean, Cherie, I feel like you're better placed to explain why this is a thing.
It's a thing because the Rona refuses to leave, because we as human beings refuse to act right and just socially distance and follow all the guidelines. Shout out to Alabama for their celebration about their sports ball team winning and just flooding the streets. Yeah, we'll never get out of here. So with that said, we're gonna need masks, and not just any mask, smart masks. So Razer has come up with a mask that is transparent, which is good, because when I do have to venture out into this post-viral apocalypse, I do smile at people, and then I kind of hit myself in the head like, oh, how can they even tell I'm smiling? Even though I have huge cheeks, I doubt that they can see it through the bulk of cloth that is this mask. So that's a good thing. It's supposed to some kind of way, it's supposed to filter air, and then it wouldn't be a Razer product if it didn't have Chroma. So the air filters have Chroma lighting on it, because why the hell not? Even though I'm saying this derisively, I want that mask. I want that thing on my face. I want it to be a mood ring. So even if you can't read my face, you can read the colors. Like, oh, she's at yellow. Maybe I've overstepped my boundaries. Maybe I should yield. Maybe I should back up. Oh, it's going to red. It's too late. The fire's about to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Is she going to hit me? Is she going to yell? Who knows? But it's red and I need to be wary.
Okay, so the big question this week then, given the fact that that's obviously a really useful color coding system for lots of people, the big question is, if you were going to redesign a mask to be smarter, what would you add into it? I mean, Cherie, is there anything you can actually add to that eloquent speech?
Honestly, if I could, like, I would, like, with that Chroma lighting, I would I would want the mask to be, you can make it cloudy or opaque when you don't feel like people seeing your mouth parts. And then, like, you could just put LED things on there, like, leave me alone, do not disturb, get away, or hide, like, whatever you want to do, be fun and festive. But, like, mine would basically be warnings about, like, okay, I've hit my introvert mode. Okay, goodbye. Don't talk. Leave me alone. The owner of this mask is easily distracted. Please do not talk to her while she is working.
Okay, I mean, that I feel that could be there all the time for all of us. Pexy, what would you do? James Peckham, Esquire.
The one benefit of face masks I found in winter has been keeping my face warmer. So I want to get it even warmer, and I want to get a little heater inside my face mask so it can act as like a small beard and can keep me warm whenever I'm out on a long walk. That's my idea.
I mean, how cold is your face now? Is it with the face mask on, you're still feeling frosty?
Yeah, when I'm out like outside for hours and hours, if I'm going on like a long piece of exercise, like we're still allowed to do in the UK at the moment. But if I'm going
7 mile bike ride.
Yeah, a little 7 mile bike ride. I want a little heater on my face.
What's the longest you've walked?
The longest I've walked
in terms of time. like outside. Like I can't, ooh. I couldn't walk for more than 20 minutes and not be bored.
I've definitely walked for like 8 hours. Like
what?
Yeah,
like just nothing else other than walking. Like you know, not going to like shops or anything like that. You've just literally.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Like the walking is the only thing.
I've done over 20 minutes though. I'm a long walker.
Okay. Give me a number.
I don't know, like an hour, but like my face is cold as soon as I get outside the house. So I want this little heater, acts as a little.
I just wanted to make sure that clearly your hours and hours was a lie. Good, thanks, John.
Really, you haven't like walked for more than an hour?
I'm glad we're piling in. Yeah, Bexy, why haven't you walked for more than an hour?
I have walked for more than an hour, but I'm saying
no. I was actually asking you, Gareth. Like you're just doing 20 minute jolts.
I run for 2.5 hours. That's not a problem.
Oh well, no,
but, like,
I don't want that.
It's just fast walking.
Yeah,
it's not. It's very different. You can walk for ages.
Triple speed walking. That's what running is.
Yeah, I don't.
No, it's different. Like,
if anything, running's easier than walking.
Keeps you warmer.
It is. It's true, actually. I think it is easier than walking.
It's just a perpetual state of falling over.
Yeah. if you're doing it right and you're hinged at your hips, John, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you've been studying how to run effectively. It's good to see that you're joining my passion. What would you do to a mask?
Well, those ideas were fine, but they were pretty boring, right? You know what we need? We need an app-enabled voice modulator. So I put my mask on, open up my phone, and I select Bane. And I'm like, you think darkness is your ally? But I can select, like, Darth Vader. I'll be like, look, I am your father. And it all comes out nice. Or you choose Chewbacca and Sherry, I would sound like.
Perfect.
So, you know, but you could download loads of extra voices. You know, I'm sure Samuel Jackson will throw his hat in the ring and Morgan Freeman as well. Their voices are just sublime and I'd love to have them. Maybe you could also be able to download some of your favourite artists' voice. So you could sing, but then you could sing with their voice. Wouldn't that be fabulous and really empowering? App-enabled voice modulation, please. I mean, in-app purchases are a given there as well. So it's got ROI on it straight out the door. You know, the Samuel Jackson pack, $2.99, bosh.
I mean, you've basically said that everyone's was boring. And I'm like, I feel like I'm going to fit into that camp now. Because I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be great if you had something that told you actually, like, you know, what the air quality was like around you so you could know what you were breathing in. And first of all, it's boring. And secondly, I've just found out that someone's done it this year.
Yeah, that was a big story at CES.
Yeah. I haven't followed every single step as much as I can. But that, I mean, if anything, it shows that my ideas are the ones that make the most sense. So technically,
but someone's done it.
That's the best answer. But, you know, Simpsons did it. So I think John wins because he's got a business model behind it. You know, he's got an ROI attached and that's very clever to the point where I'm like, this could be a really useful thing. I mean, because having masks anyway, I've realized you can disguise yourself well easy now. You put on a hat, a pair of glasses and a face mask. No one's ever going to recognize you. And it's totally acceptable to do that now. So, you know, add the voice modulation in and John could literally be any favorite celebrity he wants. And they'll go, oh my God, Winona Ryder's here or something. You know,
imagine James and having the Belinda Carlisle filter.
Perfect.
Whoa. Treat.
Yeah, wouldn't need to. That is an in-joke. James does look a lot like Belinda Carlisle. Like it could easily be his mum. Have a look on Twitter, you'll agree.
All right.
Really does. Sheree, you really should look.
A young Belinda Carlisle, yeah.
I'll send you a photo afterwards.
Or literally like it's his mum. Like it's just impossible. You know, we did the face app that could oldify you or change your face to look more like a member of the opposite sex, etc. It was just Belinda Carlisle. You know, it was just there. He's a beautiful woman. Trust me. Anyway, let's go back to another new feature. Again, steering away from CES, it's the Gadget Hall of Fame. John, you are the inverted commas new guest, although you have appeared a few times on the podcast. But you are the one that we didn't have on last week specifically, so that's often quite helpful. Now, Henry St. Ledger, he of many different fames, chose to bring in one of his first gadgets, which was a pair of trainers / sneakers that has a stopwatch inside it, or on the laces, basically, so he could time himself doing sprints and stuff. And while you might laugh at him for that, we also regaled us with the story of how he beat us all at running around that statue and running back again at our Christmas party.
Running through the legs of the statue and back again.
Well, that is very true. We're not running through the legs, sliding through the legs, which was the tricky part. And as you know, as more drinks flowed, became trickier and trickier, but he absolutely smashed it. So John, what would you like to bring in? It could be your first gadget, it could be your favourite gadget. What do you want to enter into the Hall of Fame?
It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. There are a few contenders. I absolutely loved a lot of my mobile phones over the years. The Sony Ericsson K750i was an absolute classic with 3.2 megapixel rear camera and a little physical sliding shutter that you'd have to, lens cap thing that you'd have to slide back. That was great.
Great choice.
I also absolutely adored my Nokia N95 8 gigabyte black edition, the two-way sliding pre-smartphone phone. Came out the same year as the iPhone, I think, but that was just great at the time. You could download little Java games, which maybe we'd call apps these days, and there was a great little cricket game on it, which I very much enjoyed. So that was a possibility. I also, when I was at school, I had the Rio Carbon. A few of my really rich mates had the new iPod, which was crazy expensive and huge and like a brick. The Rio Carbon, however, that was much smaller. It had a lovely little scroll wheel in its top corner that you could just use with your thumb to scroll through lists. That was beautiful. I loved that. That was really nice. But maybe the thing that stuck with me the most was something I picked up at the British Motor Show when I was maybe 11 or 12. And it's a little die-cast model of the Ferrari F40. Okay, you know, like your Hot Wheels, but it's bigger than that. Maybe a 1/16th scale, maybe 1/10. But that was really nice. But it came with a Ferrari key, very similar to the shape of the actual Ferrari key that you'd get if you bought an actual Ferrari, which I never had. But you could put that into the back of the car, twist it, and then release it. And then every time you pick up the car, the alarm would go off and the lights would flash, and I'd know someone was trying to steal my toy. It was a very simple toy back in the day, but at the time I was amazed by it. You know, oh, when I lift it up and I was working it out, and it's okay, the sensors are part of the suspension, because as the wheel suspension drops, the alarm is set off. And that has just stuck with me. It gave me a sort of inspiration for an electronics project when I was in high school as part of my electronics course, of making a drawer alarm, which it sounds as boring as it is. But the sort of...
What's the ROI on that drawer alarm, though? You know, what's the business model? I feel like that's John's way of doing things. Like, how could you accessorize this for a business perspective?
I've got better business smart since then. Back then, I was just an ideas person.
And so you're going for the Ferrari?
I'm going for the Ferrari F40 model, which, yeah, I picked up many moons, 20 odd years ago now. Stuck with me ever since in my mind. Like,
I mean, the Rio Carbon was an absolute gem. That was the one that lived in the Argos catalog, where the iPod would not in the UK. Like I said, I think it was the Cowan was a very similar thing in terms of MP3, MP4 kind of thing on the go. And they were true iPod rivals. You're right, John. It was really sad when you couldn't have one. So you had this budget thing. And is that it? Is John? I was wondering why John was rooting around in those drawers. No.
I think I've got one somewhere, but instead I've found my Creative Zen MP4 player. Ooh, video.
Yeah. Wow.
Video. Oh, hang on. There's an SD card in here. It's quite big. It's 4 gigabyte. I thought maybe it would be smaller than that, but 4 gig SD card, that would have been proper money back in the day.
That'd be massive. I used to have an MP3 player off eBay that was about the size of an SD card, and this was quite early on. That had it ran off one AAA battery. Love that thing. It was well good. It had an LCD screen, so it told you what was playing. You know, that was the future. Still, I still love that thing. You could have easily swallowed it. It was that good. John has found...
I found it. I found the Rio Carbon.
This is very much a podcast feature. John showing things on
camera.
It's a
very much visual experience, but it's got a lovely little scroll wheel, which you can also click in. And it was just great. Look how dinky it was as well. You know, fits easily in the palm of your hand, slips easy into a pocket, versus the iPods at the time, which were a centimeter and a half thick and really heavy.
John,
this was great.
You need to tweet a picture of that, and then we can retweet it.
We need to switch over to video podcasting as soon as possible, because folks need to see that in real time.
I mean, look at our backgrounds right now. Like, John's got a fairly good one. Actually, we're looking at the back of quite a minimalist room. Cherie is just boxes, and this is just
a nightmare
behind me.
I would go downstairs to the basement with all my cool knickknacks and gadgets if we would switch the video.
Why don't you do that anyway? Because it's quieter down there. What about the time when your fire alarm kept going off?
Yeah, I do.
And you refused to stay. You're like, no, I'm going to stay by it. I love my fire alarm. I'm not going to leave it.
Well, my boyfriend was downstairs, and like it was just a whole debacle.
No one likes a debacle. Good stuff.
Does anyone have mini USB cables these days?
Yes, I still have some around. Do you need one?
Yeah, please, if you could just pop one over, run it around this evening, Sherry, that'd be great. Because, these two both take mini USB. Remember the days of mini USB? Those are the days where mini USB wasn't the only charging port. There was about 60 different charging ports, depending on which brand you bought. So you just end up with a nightmare of cables.
Or, like, get an MP3 player that takes a AAA battery. Boom. John, didn't you get sent... I won't out which what it was specifically. Recently, we all got sent something to help us with our tech needs for the current time of the year. I'm being very opaque here. That used mini USB. That's how great the item was. So you could use that.
Oh, well, that just shows the quality and thought that has gone into the purchase of that particular product. Good.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, good. I've got one of these again after I threw out all of these cables last week. That's really useful.
Oh, so it's in there. Maybe I'll open the box.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. You should have opened.
Getting excited.
You should have opened that box by now, John. Right, what's happening? This is the podcast running order that I'm calling up because I went off the tab. We have done the big question on the Gadget Hall of Fame, so that must mean it's time for news. I feel like I'm leading to jingles that just don't exist every time. News.
Dun, 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 dun. It's the news.
So, Samsung Galaxy S21 kind of counts for CES, Bexy. What do you think?
Yeah, it's sort of CES related, isn't it? We saw three phones from Samsung, a pair of headphones and some Galaxy Smart Tags as the five gadgets that we got to see, exactly what we expected, really. So we got the Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra, which is their brand new super premium phone. And then this year, Samsung has done something a little bit different and switched the Galaxy S21 and the Galaxy S21 Plus as their slightly lower spec phones and dropped the price. So in the US, the S21 is $200 cheaper than the S20's launching price at $799. The way Samsung's done this is by dropping a few features. So they've now switched to a full HD plus screen on the S21 and the S21 Plus. If you want those top end specs that you've been getting from the S20 and the other S series, you probably want to be looking at the Ultra, but that is a very expensive phone, which is $1,200. That is remarkably cheaper than the S20 Ultra when that launched, but it's still a lot of money because that's $1,200. So yeah, the S21 Ultra is the most exciting phone here. The other big talking point is really that the S Pen is moving to the S21 Ultra, so you no longer have to just own a Note phone, as something we've spoken about at length on this on these podcasts. But yeah, so that is now confirmed, and yeah, everything looks good, but it's not the most exciting year from Samsung.
Well, let's zero in on a couple of points there. As you said, the main Samsung Galaxy S21 is $200 cheaper, which is actually... that's pretty good. And I know Apple is doing something kind of similar with the iPhone 12, you know, arguably mini range. But dropping those features in, you know, is it a flagship phone? Is it not? But it's the kind of the one that people know the most because it is, you know, the S21. It is the moniker that people would assume is the new hotness. I mean, does that say that manufacturers have been getting it wrong over the last few years? And they're like, you know what? We've over-featured our phones. We've over-specced them. And actually, that sweet spot of a price point is where we should have been looking the whole time.
Perhaps, but I think...
perhaps. I enjoy the way you said that.
Sheree's going to disagree. So I'll let you take that properly in a minute. But I think they're now putting their most focus on those top specs onto the Ultra series. I think this is a way of Samsung trying to push people towards that when they really want the best of the best. What do you think, Sheree?
I mean, there are certain phones for everybody. Some people like all the bells and whistles. I'm one of those people. And some people don't need all the bells and whistles. My mom is a bells and whistle person, and she definitely doesn't need all the bells and whistles. But since she sees my brother and I with all the bells and whistles, because we're those type of people, she's like, you're never going to use all of that, mom. She never, like, I'll learn. She never learns. But we have to get her the bells and whistle phone anyway.
I mean, I feel like Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, let's see how many bells and whistles Sheree really uses.
No,
I need them.
Well, I use it. I have, because I have officially gotten my Note Ultra, and I am using the hell out of this pen in all the air gestures and things. I love my Note. It is the best.
I don't believe you're using air gestures, so let's not pretend.
Why do you gotta play me like that? I do, because it's fun and it's still new.
Because you love taking four times the time it takes to do any simple task. Yes, I'd like this to take four times longer.
But I like it. It's like a magic wand. Don't judge me.
Well, now you can get on the S21 Ultra.
But I mean, but you are right. I mean, I appreciate there is options for there are options for different people. But back in the day, which increasingly I'm saying more and more now, the you know, the headline phone was always, you know, the S21 would have been the one with all of the tech in it, and it would have been the S21 Lite that had the cut down version. And it's interesting that you know, Samsung's been doing this with the S10e becoming the S20, and then the S21 now going below. I don't know, like, where all the different versions would land if you're going to line them up next to each other. But the basic model is now the main, in inverted commas, phone, really, which I just find it as a real interesting talking point, especially when you compare it to, like I said, Apple, who's done the iPhone 12. Mm. But it looks like, well, sales figures aren't quite out yet, that the Pro Max is the most popular model, the most expensive feature-packed device out there. So that's an interesting kind of marketing... I was about to say an interesting marketing duality, and thought, that's a sentence that A, sounds terrible, and B, I don't even understand. So apologies for that.
What is interesting there is that Apple moved towards doing premium, not premium, but not their top premium, but like doing smaller phones that have those top specs. There's nothing like that here in Samsung's range. If they've not gone for a smaller model, they've not gone for a mini, they've not done anything in that sort of space. So that's quite an interesting thing. But yeah, if you want everything, you're going for the Ultra. We haven't actually tried the S21 or the S21. Well, I haven't tried any of those three phones yet, so hopefully in the next few weeks we should be able to get to try them out and be able to share more.
And smart tags. I mean, is this just a basic FU to Apple?
Perhaps.
Yep. Cool. Done.
Perhaps, but Apple have never said that they're doing it, so it's the rumor mill that has whipped up people into a frenzy of Apple's definitely doing them, and they've said it for the last sort of three or four major Apple events over the last 18 months.
But
it's a funny one.
But I mean, it is almost certain. Like, we've seen reference to them in code. You know, I mean, it also makes a huge amount of sense for another thing. You know, the whole Find Me, the way that the Macs work to enable the functionality. You're right, John. Apple has never come out and said we're going to do that. The only thing that's ever happened like that is the AirPower mat that didn't exist in the end. But I mean, Apple is clearly thinking about it. You know, for all the leakers out there that we kind of get annoyed when they don't turn out to be correct, this one has got so much smoke that that fire is burning hot somewhere in the furnaces of Cupertino, whatever. But Samsung's just gone, yep, we can do that. I mean, based on the expected functionality of the AirTags, even though, again, like John said, it's not real, how do they differ to the smart tags from Samsung? Or is it basically the same thing?
They haven't really shared all that much detail on the Samsung smart tags at the moment.
Oh.
They'll
never come out.
Yeah, it's very much we are doing this as a thing. So I've not been able to dive too much into those details yet, but hopefully we'll learn a bit more about how they're working in the next couple of weeks.
Samsung does do that sometimes, where it was announced things and you go, hang on, where was that?
Do you remember Galaxy Home?
Yep, that's my first one. And where is Bally? Where's that ball? I mean, it might have come out in Korea that I haven't seen it, but last year at CES, I spent a long time looking at Samsung showing off a ball, and I haven't seen that ball. Where's that ball? Okay, well, I feel like that Samsung has kicked off the year inexplicably early with a launch of a phone, so thank you for that, Samsung. Let's get to, well, actually, you know what? I feel like I'm a little bit tired. I feel like I need a bit of a break, so let's come back after this. So this week's noise cancelling podcast is also in association with Razer, but specifically the Razer Book 13. And Cherie has touched this thing.
I have touched it, and it is a very exciting laptop. So first things first, let's just get to know what we're talking about here. So the Razer Book 13 is the first 100% productivity laptop from Razer. And yes, I know, Razer does have a 13-inch laptop. It's called the Blade Stealth, and it was kind of for work, but this is really a true productivity laptop. It's for working on the go, for mobile professionals, and of course, home office use.
But I feel like there's more coming, right?
Of course. So Razer has teamed with Intel to develop the Razer Book 13, and it's Razer's very first EVO certified laptop. So that EVO certification brings a whole bunch of cool features, like its very long battery runtime. When we tested it, it lasted 13 hours and 14 minutes. It's actually the longest lasting Razer laptop that we've ever tested at Laptop Mag, which is awesome. You get instant wake, which is less than a second to resume power, and the quick recharge functionality, which means you charge it for 30 minutes, you get 4 hours of usage.
That to me is like smartphone, which is pretty good, right?
It's very good. Plus, we get 2 Thunderbolt 4 ports, which, because we're living in the future, it's awesome. You get a full-size HDMI port, and you get fast Wi-Fi 6, a good microphone, and HD webcam.
Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in it, but does that mean it's going to be super heavy, sit in a bag, hurt my shoulder?
No, absolutely not. Razer has never been about being a big, bulky laptop. It's not going to start with the Razer Book. It actually weighs 3.1 pounds, which is really, really light, especially considering that the laptop is made of a full CNC aluminum chassis. Beautiful to look at. And we've got to talk about those chroma keys. They're beautiful. They're customizable. 16.8 million colors that you can play with. And that display. The display is bright and vibrant. So vibrant that you can use it outdoors. You've got a 16.10 aspect ratio. So you're going to really get the most out of that real estate. And it's just a beautiful laptop to use. Whether you're in the office, whether you're at home, and it's just a solid, beautiful piece of work.
And so why would a 16 by 10 screen ratio be useful? That's more than the normal widescreen.
That 16.10 form factor is so important because more screen. Who doesn't want more screen? I want more screen, especially if it's as bright, as vivid as the Razer Book 13's display. So yeah, give me all of that. In addition, you have several resolutions that you can choose from. You've got a full HD Plus and an Ultra HD Plus, and both screens are touchscreen. So if you want to use a stylus or even use your finger, you can do that, and it adds even more functionality to an already productive targeted laptop. So with that stated, if you are looking for a 100% productivity laptop that's lightweight, long-lasting, with a lovely display, the Razer Book 13 is your one-stop shop.
And we're back after that. Right, CES, let's get into it properly. So many things to talk about here. Many, many, many things. I'm going to...
Bumper week.
Exactly, umper, indeed. Pexi. Let's talk. We've already talked about phones from you. Let's continue that fun kick. Rollable stuff. This is now. I am, to use a very English phrase, cock a hoop about this. Rollables are the natural extension of foldables, and I have been waiting for this shit for ages. You know, as I've told listeners many times, I was there at the very beginning looking at rollable e-ink displays. You know, back in Eindhoven in Holland. Well, I went there by myself. Early journalist. The steam end, the steam train.
It wasn't even for work. It was just a holiday for Gareth.
If you go to holiday, Eindhoven is such. It's like going to some middle of nowhere city for no reason. But went there, and there was this company, Polymer Vision, who were showing off e-ink displays that they could roll out, they could fold out, and they said rollable displays were the most obvious thing, but they couldn't get them out because road testing them, people were like, they're too scared they're going to break. So the foldable felt like it was more robust. So that's where that came from first. But now, hopefully it's here. And I know they're concepts, and LG and TCL have shown off concepts, but surely, Pexi, this is the right thing to do. You know, TCL showing off a phone that rolls upwards, essentially. You can extend it out, and LG's gone one that's gone from, you know, portrait to landscape in a big folding, sort of scrolling out motion. Are you excited?
I am excited. The thing we probably need to point out to people is that TCL's devices that they've shown off at CES are concept devices. There's no intention of bringing these to market. It looks like the LG rollable is coming to market. That seems to be the intention behind it. LG's being very quiet about everything, but some sources have said that that's probably actually going to be coming at some point this year. I can imagine that's going to be a very expensive phone that's only available in certain markets, but yeah, it looks like that will actually be available. It's as you say, it's a natural extension to foldable phones, isn't it? It's a sort of exciting in that way of being able to actually actually get a larger phone that's probably not going to be as thick as a foldable phone. You look at like the thickness of a Z Fold 2 and those sort of devices, as much as they are really exciting, they are Gen 1, well, Gen 2 tech with the Z Fold 2. But yeah, I think the roadable stuff is going to become more and more interesting as we see it over the years. It's also great that we've got three manufacturers that are already showing off devices, the LG Rollable and the TCL concepts, and then Oppo also has its own concept that it showed off at the end of last year. So with three manufacturers starting to use that technology, I'm sure a lot more manufacturers have stuff behind closed doors. I feel like this year maybe the time we start to actually properly see rollable tech become a thing.
I can't wait.
Keep the rollable train rolling.
I'm rolling with it, and it's the form factor that absolutely speaks to me and is, in my opinion, better than foldable. Foldable is lovely, and don't get me wrong, I've loved playing with the foldable phones over the last sort of couple of years. Just opening up a device and it being a bigger screen is really novel, but the whole form factor is still a bit clunky, it's a bit chunky. Whereas having sat down with TCL last year and having an even more basic hands-on time with this concept, being able to hold your device, which is only maybe a couple of mil thicker than your current smartphone, the difference in size isn't that great. It's not like a double thickness phone. It is just a couple of mil. And then essentially holding the phone and being able to press a button or just pull out the side of the phone and the screen just gets bigger. It just makes so much sense. It's such a good implementation of foldable displays in terms of usability. The motorized aspect is nice because you're not having to go, oh, how hard do I put it? Just press a button and out it comes or in it goes. The one big worry is durability though. If I drop this when it's folded out, and then so that extension bit is not going to be as thick as a normal phone or as well protected just by the nature of it, that is the big worry. And these will be expensive phones. We saw the original foldable phones were around 2,000 in price when they launched, and these are, if not slightly more complex in terms of mechanics. So that is my worry, but I am all for it if they can make it work.
I mean, John, just what Polymer Vision said all those years ago, people are worried about the robustability of the robustability. That's not a word. The robustness of these devices.
Just durability.
Yeah. Well, they're two words into one, Pexy. I'm an efficient man. But yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, Polymer Vision ahead of their time. I was there in Eindhoven at the forefront of this. Keep telling people. So clearly, the proof is in the pudding there. But I am equally excited. Cherie, have you got a completely different opinion?
No, I want to see how rollable folds work. Like, I liked the folds when I first saw it. I'm still a fan. I actually prefer LG's take on it with the dual screen thing, but I just want something that's going to be sturdy. Like, I love the idea of it. I love being able to like make it small enough that it's like a little scroll in my pocket, and then when it's time to look at the, like unfurl it like but I want it to be sturdy, and I think that the first round are going to be really flimsy, and we're going to be just dissecting these phones like they're trash, this and that. And then the second and third gen will come around, and like those will be better, and that's what, like most new things. But I'm not planning to jump in on this trend until like it's a proven, instead of just one of those really highfalutin concepts.
So if LG offered you a chance to try one, you would be like, no, thank you. Not till this is properly falutin.
No, if LG was going to give me a chance to be the first one on my block, yeah, no, I'm going to go with the tech drip. I'll be showing that thing off to everybody. Like it came through dripping. Drip, like it'd be amazing. No, of course I'd take it.
If you don't want it, I'll take it. You can just recommend me.
Pexy, I expect you to be getting ahead of Cherie. I don't. You shouldn't be getting in this queue. You should be elbowing your way to the front. That's what I want to see. Anyway, talking of Cherie, one thing we know about her is she has many TVs in the house. So CES, this must have been an absolute dream for you, because we've had many more TVs turn up. Which one's been your most exciting and why?
I'm really excited about 8K. I'm really geeked about mini LED. Like, although right now it will cost an arm, a leg, a baby, a soul. In a few choice organs. These are the things that virtual CES can't give you, because you want to see those type of things in person. I miss being able to go into South Hall and you go into the LG exhibit and you just kind of have to stay, like there's always a traffic jam because everyone's standing there staring at the wall of TVs. It is just so, like, they bring out their best TVs. No one knows what the resolution is. It just looks like you are, well, typically they do an underwater scene or they'll do some waterfall or some jungle shit, but you're just transfixed by the A, magnitude of it, the opulence, and like how much is this wall of TVs worth?
$12,000.
It is visually spectacular for sure, but my word, the number of people who get in my way when I'm just trying to get to the booth.
Oh yeah, no, my jersey and the adopted New York mannerisms come out, and the elbows just like just fling out like switchblades, like just.
But I mean, so mini LED, for people that don't know, is a real rival to OLED technology, because the idea being that if you've ever looked at your TV behind it, if it's an LCD panel, it's got these backlights that will either be right behind it or at the sides, and they will fire up and then they'll light the pixels themselves, so you can see what's on the screen. And the better you can do the backlighting, the better the picture looks. And what Samsung does is have these tiny LEDs that go all behind, and they'll light in the exact right places. And where OLEDs, the pixels will light up themselves and that looks amazing, and deep blacks, etc., you know, these mini LEDs TVs can go even brighter and they can look even more stunning. And that's the beautiful battle that the TV manufacturers are working on right now. LG's brought out the OLED Evo, is that right? That can go even higher in terms of brightness, and it's going to be hella expensive. And Sony's also gone with a much more artificially intelligent OLED panel, because LG makes nearly every OLED panel out there anyway, so you've got to do what you can to differentiate. But there's lots of cool things, and I like the fact Cherie's going after 8K, because it just means it's an excuse to upgrade every telly.
Yes! Yes, it is!
Let's not forget that CES has also coined a brand new bit of jargon for
finally.
Us. Where we all know QLED. Well, now there's QNED. I mean, how good is that?
Is that a horse?
No.
What is it?
Is that QAnon?
It's TV. QNED. Visit techradar.com to read our What is QNED explainer.
Ooh, nice segue. Nice segue.
I think something I ordered before Christmas got delivered, and I think I threw it away. Just remembered that.
Hey,
I suddenly remembered, like, I ordered some new stuff there before Christmas, and I'm in the middle of loads of other stuff, and I was like, where did that come? Turns out it had just been delivered apparently, and I can't find it. Just realised.
You know we're doing the podcast, Gareth, yeah?
Yeah, I know. I suddenly remembered it, and I was like, I mean to check on that. There you are. Done that. John, cars.
Hello. Yes. Car companies.
Oh, wait. What is QNED? I forgot that bit. What's QNED?
Oh, it's some new TV technology. Ask Henry. He wrote the explainer.
What is it?
It's some TV tech. You know QLED? Well, Samsung now have QNED.
Oh, don't bring things up and then not actually do anything about it. What?
Well, you're doing
it. LG. LG came out with it called QNED.
Oh, there you are.
They're mini LED TVs. I mean, that is a real... I mean, top of the rankings is Tech Radar's What is QNED? Going to read that later. Great. And the strap is, no, not QNED, the other one. Good. I'm glad that we've got that kind of confusing situation out of the way. Go read that on the internet. Right. John, cars, go back to that.
Cool. So there were a few car stories at CES, and the big takeaway for many of you is screens in cars are going to get bigger. If you didn't think there were enough screens in cars right now, there's going to be even more screens in even more entertaining shapes in even more interesting places. Well, we kicked off actually a few days before with Mercedes launching its quite brilliantly named Hyperscreen, which is a door-to-door display system which features three display panels within it, covered by Gorilla Glass, gently curving Gorilla Glass across the whole thing. Two of the displays are OLEDs, one of them is an LCD which sits behind the instrument cluster, and basically it was telling us all about how the car is going to become even more connected. All the displays can talk to each other. The passenger in the front seat has their own display, and in some markets they'll be able to watch live TV or videos or movies on their own display as you drive along. But if the driver tries to look over and watch the movie as well, a camera will be watching the driver, and if it detects the driver looking over to the movie, it will turn the movie off until they return their eyes to the road, which is an interesting feature. How well it works remains to be seen, but it made me think, because I drive a Jaguar E-Type? No, I drove a Jaguar XE maybe 4 or 5 years ago now.
What does XE stand for?
And the central... It doesn't. And the central display in that had multi-directional vision. So we could play a movie. We could put a DVD player in the glove box, put the DVD player on. The passenger puts on some Bluetooth headphones. They sit in the passenger seat and they can watch the movie. It was Star Wars, while we're driving along. Whereas me, from the driver's position looking at the display, I would see the navigation. So that was really smart.
That sounds cleverer.
There's a video on my Instagram, John B. M. McCann. If you scroll down, there's a video on there of it just moving side to side. That was clever. The resolution wasn't brilliant and the color and contrast wasn't great, but it worked, and it is quite an impressive piece of tech. So that particular multi-directional vision exists, but it'll be interesting to see how Mercedes sort of camera watch on the driver works, because it means that the passenger will be able to get a better quality image, which is what you want if you're watching a movie.
I just feel like it's just too dangerous. Like, don't take the risk of that not working. Or I just feel like, you know, no one goes in there and goes like, "Yeah, thanks for the ride, but where's the in-car movie? This is terrible." I feel like you just bring your phone, you know, watch stuff on your own self.
Maybe not, but in markets where driving happens a lot and people drive long distances, yeah. The US, for example, where long distance car journeys are more of the norm, then actually being able to have this sort of infotainment is actually a really nice boon for people. And there'll be screens in the back as well for those rear seat passengers. And if you're watching a piece of content on one screen, you'll be able to tap and then swipe forward to give it to the passenger, or tap and swipe sideways to give it to the other passenger to move the content around the screen, so you can all watch it together. How lovely is that? Go, "Hey, look at this funny cat video," or whatever. So that's fine. So that's Mercedes. They're going to put this big ass hyper screen in their upcoming QC something. I can't remember the name. That's bad, isn't it? But their upcoming electric vehicle later this year, luxury sedan, is coming, and it will be the first one to feature hyperscreen. We also heard a bit more from Sony about its vision. I can't say vision.
You did it.
We heard more from Sony about its Vision S concept car, which it actually showed off last year at CES, and everyone was like, "Well, this is kind of dumb. Why is Sony just got a car on stage? It's not going to do anything with it." But it looks like actually maybe it is going to do something with it, and maybe Sony is going to make a car that people can buy, which is kind of wild. It's Sony just trying something else. Maybe it needs to. It has had some interesting times with various sort of departments. So a new car, we got a bit more footage of it actually driving on roads, and we also got a look inside, and again, door-to-door screen action all the way across the front console. And the little nugget here was, part of the video, there's someone sitting there with a PlayStation controller playing Little Big Planet. So, you know,
is it the driver?
More PlayStation, hopefully. But more PlayStation interaction coming to your car soon. This is off the back of the Honda E, the really cutesy little mini car, city car from Honda, all electric. Has a low range, but it is just for city driving. But you can, that's an HDMI port, and you can plug in your mini Nintendo NES or SNES or mini PlayStation 1, and you can play those via the car screens as well. So we are likely to see even more sort of console compatibility with our car screens, which, again, kind of wild. With them being on the center front screens, you won't be allowed to play while driving. This will be something which is very much a when you're parked up. But why would you ever want that? Well, these are electric vehicles. When you pull into a service station, you're not done in 2 minutes. These are going to take half an hour, maybe 40 minutes, maybe an hour to charge up. So you're going to be sitting in your car for a while. So actually, to have the option...
Draining it.
To have the option to play a game, it won't drain it that much. The draw is very low. So to have these options to keep passengers entertained, be it video playback, be it games, it does make a lot of sense, because we may well be waiting longer to top up our cars. So there's that. And then finally, there's the Hyperion XP1 hypercar, which is hydrogen electric. So it's a hydrogen tank. Rather than you plugging it into a socket and it taking straight up electricity into lithium ion batteries, it instead has a hydrogen tank, which you fill up more akin to filling up a gas tank. However, hydrogen in the future, ones at scale should be cheaper, but at the moment is similar to gas, maybe a touch more expensive. The only byproduct of it is pure H2O, so it's great for the environment. Hydrogen is easy to come by. And the Hyperion basically is making the case of we should be going after hydrogen electric rather than lithium ion electric. It's also much lighter. It uses supercapacitors rather than batteries, and it uses the hydrogen tank, which takes the weight down, and less weight means you can go faster and you can get better performance. And the Hyperion XP1 has a top speed of 221 miles an hour. It will do 0 to 60 in under 2.2 seconds, and it has a range of 1,000 miles. So it is a serious piece of kit. They're only making 300 of them. By the sounds of it, they've already all been reserved, some quite a few years ago. They've been working on this for a little while, and they should be rolling off production lines at the end of 2022. But there is a working concept currently roving around the streets of Las Vegas right now, which is a shame because none of us are there to see it. But that's a key thing. The car looks fantastic. It looks supremely sort of space age if you look at the photos and the video that are flying around from it. But they do actually have a working model as well, which is a decent step. And finally, just going back to the
John, I need to know one thing about the Hyperion. What does the XP stand for?
It doesn't.
Oh,
experience.
Thank you. Come on, John, you have 20 seconds to finish this off. We have heard a lot about cars. Come on.
Cool. Looping back to the screens, instead of going door to door, the screen runs from the center console along the transmission tunnel to the engine bay. So you have a screen going in between you and the passenger. It looks wild. We're going to learn more about it in the next few months. Keep an eye out. It also has solar panels on a movable spoiler as well, which is just crazy too. So there you are. Cars.
Ah, that last bit was boring. Said about transmission or something. I got lost.
It was quite cool. It was a screen that went all the way through the car. I thought I was one of the coolest.
I heard transmission. I was like, no.
Turn off.
Exactly. Cherie, John's very interesting and very eloquent monologue about cars has truncated your ability to talk about computing, which I know you love tremendously. So how quickly can you talk about all the cool things that you wanted to say,
Cherie,
from ASUS, AMD, NVIDIA, Razer? Go.
All right. So first things first, let's talk NVIDIA and let's talk AMD. The too long didn't read version of this is laptops are going to get even more powerful, particularly if you are rocking gaming laptops. NVIDIA finally announced, even though we all knew it was coming, its 30 series GPUs. So now we can all clamor for 3080s and 3070s and 3060s in laptop form. Let's see how long those will stay on the shelves once they are available, which actually they should be available sometime next week, January 26th, somewhere around there. Not to be outdone, AMD announced their 5000 Ryzen series processors, and they are kicking some big claims: longer battery life, more power. And they're going to be in over 150 laptops this year, which is a big thing. Competition is always good, and like as a tech writer, you get tired of writing, oh well, you know, it powered by Intel with an NVIDIA GPU or a Intel integrated GPU, which don't do integrated graphics if you can help it, folks. Unless you're not, if you're not a gamer, then okay, yes, do the integrated graphics. I don't want the integrated graphics. I need all the discrete, but that's your choice. But yeah, so too long didn't read. Everything's going to get powerful, probably a little bit more expensive, but we shall see.
That could be the tagline for CES every single year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, everything's going to get a bit more powerful, a bit more expensive, but we'll see.
We'll see. ASUS is just... this was really... Between ASUS and HP, this was a very interesting show. ASUS gets the top billing right now because they came out with a convertible gaming laptop. It is not the first convertible gaming laptop because the Acer Nitro Spin 5 exists, but this is ASUS's first ever convertible gaming laptop. It is super thin. It is super sleek. It's got, I actually have the pre-production model in my house. It's sexy. Ridged lid made of aluminum, still got that funky two-tone thing that ASUS loves so much, and now we all love it. It's just a nice look. It's powered by an NVIDIA GTX 6050, which I know. I get it. That is not the card that you want to game on. Stay with me. I'll come right round back to that in 1 second. For the processor, it's rocking a Ryzen 9 CPU. This is a powerful system. And it's they're talking about 10 hours of battery life, which if it wasn't being powered by AMD, I would say it's unheard of. But the Asus ROG Zephyrus G14 lasted 13 hours on our battery test last year. So the sky's the limit. So what makes this laptop so special, the ROG ROG Flow X13, it's a lot of letters and numbers and this and that, is that it comes bundled with the XG Mobile, which is the smallest external graphics, external GPU I've ever seen in my life.
Finally. They're all too big.
This thing you can literally put in your backpack and really go, like, you know how we always say, like, yeah, so if you want to go to the LAN party, yeah, no, you can really throw this in your backpack or your, even a purse, and be like, yeah, I'm ready to kick some ass. Like, whip out this little laptop, this little 13-inch laptop, whip out this little pocket size, well, it's not pocket size, but it's small, eGPU.
Cargo pants you could put it in.
Yeah, you probably could fit in some cargo pants, actually.
There you are, see?
It really just wreaks some havoc. It's, like, they're not saying what configurations that they're going to do. Actually, they are. It's a 3080. They're going to put somehow they found a way to squeeze a 3080 into this. Like, the enclosure is smaller than the desktop 3080s that we've been seeing. I have a 3080 in my house. Like, I tried to fit it in my my old Alienware Aurora. Does not fit. It's a massive card, but it's so much smaller than the actual desktop. I don't know how. All I know at this point is that Asus is, they might be witches. We might need to burn them. I don't know, but they have magic, and they are making magic with this system. I cannot wait to review this thing and put it through its paces. I'm so excited about this. It is literally one of the most interesting laptop that I have seen at the show, and I mean physically seen.
You should see Cherie's actions there to physically see.
Like,
loving it.
Right, for Cherie, 20 seconds. Come on, finish this up. We are going to have the longest podcast we've ever had otherwise. Well, we are anyway, but like, it's getting into crazy territory.
All
now.
Right. HP has some interesting things. The HP Elite Folio, leather, vegan leather meets aluminum, convertible tablet. Check it out. Dragonflies everywhere. Well, like, there's a lot of stuff. Check out Laptop Mag, because there were a lot of laptops. And I just can't. This is going to be such a good year for me. It really is.
Time. Right, we have to go to another break now because I'm going to fall asleep. Not because of the content, but just because of the level of energy that we have expended from this whole thing. I had to find a way to caveat that. I was like, this is not the problem. But yeah, let's take a break and we'll come back after this now. So this week, the Noise Cancelling Podcast is brought to you in association with Western Digital. There's something to talk about, but Cherie is the person that we want to hear about. She knows about speed. Hit us, Cherie.
This is for all the gamers out there. Whether you prefer to play on a console, PC, or laptop, it's important to use storage drives that are built to perform. The go-to is the WD Black. Regardless of what's being played, because with WD Black gaming drives, you know that you can increase your capacity and speed to get in fast and take out opponents even faster.
Okay, fine. I understand what you're saying, but there's got to be more. There's got to be more key points that we're going to hit, Cherie. Come on.
Of course there's... Come on, man. This is me. Of course there are more key points. No matter what you're looking for, WD Black has a drive for you. Whether you want to reduce load times or streamline your connectivity, a trusted drive can help you lead to more victories, which of course you want. Like, who doesn't like wins? Each drive is expertly designed inside and out to offer you premium gameplay with performance storage that is purpose-built for gaming, because WD Black knows the game never waits. Now, WD Black offers even more storage with the new 4 TB version of the P50 drive for gamers looking for higher capacity and high speeds. 4 TB. That's unreal. Think of all the games, especially if you have a PS5 or a Xbox Series X. You need that storage. With expansive storage capabilities on the WD Black drives, you can save it all your favorite titles to the drive while firing up a new game or your console or PC. Plus, you can forget about tedious loading screens or needing to delete other games to make room. You can now get that time back by increasing your console or PC storage and speed with WD Black Drives.
So if you want to learn more about the portfolio of WD Black Drives and optimize your gameplay with a drive that fits your console, desktop, PC, or laptop needs, then you know what you need to do. Make sure to head to wdblack.com to find the perfect drive for you. With WD Black, you can leave no game behind. Remember, that is wdblack.com. And we are back. Right, this is going to be the longest podcast. Thank you for sticking around with us so far. We have still got two things we want to bring you, though. So to finish off CES, we need to do the final news blast. It's only take 1 minute. I am up for this. This is my chance to finally take back this record, because CES has that much stuff, and I mean that much stuff, that it's going to be, I think it's going to be easy for me to break well past 13. So who's going to time this?
I can get it if required. I'm ready.
Okay.
Try counting your win.
Yeah, obviously, I'm just going to start and just guess.
Okay. 3, 2.
Yeah.
One, go!
So let's talk about CES 2021. The main thing that we're going to talk about, number one, is Mofflin. It is an adorable AI pet, artificial intelligence pet robot that will learn to love you. Now, this one is from Vanguard Technologies. It's part of a successful Kickstarter campaign where the emotional capabilities will allow you to do this fluffy grey guinea pig that has got black beady eyes and soft fur, and it can basically listen and understand using a gyroscope sensor, and it can explain, it can learn a new personality and find out exactly how you love it and how you can love you back. They say that Vanguard Technologies, the company that actually invented this one, have gone and said there's different things different people can do. So depending on how you interact with it, so it can express actual feelings and use animal sounds back to you to give you a sense of that you're actually not that lonely, that this is a real pet. However, it only costs $400 if you are an early bird subscriber. If you're going to spend a bit more on it, I don't know, then that's actually may not be a much of a problem, but you know, you have to get in there early. This will be out in June later this year, June 2021, which is actually a lot cheaper than normal robot pets, but it does sound very exciting, because since 1999, when Sony came out with the Aibo, robot pets have been struggling to get to the forefront. How many was that?
I see what you were doing.
New record.
Told you I could get the new record.
If you don't take it seriously, all previous scores are wiped, so you're now back at zero.
No, I'm back at one, actually. So in your face.
No.
To be fair, you didn't finish. I mean, seriously. You didn't finish that story.
No,
but the goal is understanding the story. Have you got a sense of what it's about? Yes, you have. So there you go. Right, I'm going to jump straight through to a new section on this. This is the quiz for the people we're going for this week, and this is going to be short, guys, but I'm going to quiz you on CES. So the rules are very simple. I'm going to ask you four questions. I'm not going to give you multiple choice. I'm just going to ask each of you for an answer, and you have to do your best guess. This would be normally longer, but like I said, this is a long one. So number one, guys, which brand is making electric delivery vehicles and showing them off at CES this year? John, start with you. Which brand is making electric delivery vehicles?
Intel.
No. Pexi.
Amazon.
No. Cherie.
I have no idea. Hell, DoorDash. I don't know.
No, it's General Motors. Huh. That was your opening question. They get a bit more interesting now. I think there's a chance we'll get this, because as per the filter mask that I didn't know everyone knew about, people have probably got the rest of these. So tell me, Cherie, you can kick us off. What is a bit different about Lenovo's ThinkBook Plus 2?
It's bigger and it's got an e-ink display on the back. Well, on the lid.
Pexi, I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong. Pexi.
Yeah, it's got e-ink on the lid.
John?
Yeah, what those two?
Yeah, that one's right. Yeah, that was an easier one, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had no idea, but Cherie just came and just smashed it. So
I thought if Cherie didn't sound so confident, John may come up with something else, but no. Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R, Kohler. They have made a new stillness bath. It's designed to be sort of like an infinity pool. So it's got fog machine and it's got, you know, water that slips over the sides. Cherie's very excited about this. How much does it cost in dollars? Pexi, start us off.
In dollars.
Like I know it in euros, but in dollars, yeah.
$3,499.
Ooh, John.
$20,000.
Cherie.
It is $16,000 and I want it so, so badly.
Yeah.
How much? 60 or 16?
16. Sweet 16.
Well done, Cherie. Cherie really does prove that she does love CES and just like getting in there with everything. Final question. This is going to go to you first, John. What is cool about Ampere's new shower device?
It has a built-in Bluetooth speaker.
Pexi?
It's built so you can urinate at the same time as showering.
Well, every device has got that. So, Cherie.
It's a Bluetooth speaker that is actually powered by the water coming through the shower, so you never have to worry about electrocuting yourself in the shower.
You really are Ms. CES.
I love
CES.
That is amazing.
I think I think John could get that point as well, because it is a Bluetooth speaker. But the key part of it is that it is powered by the rushing water. And I feel like that
hydroelectric, my friend.
Mm, exactly. Well done. That was our CES quiz. Would be longer normally, but like I said, we are well over time. So I'm actually going to chop it right there. Thank you, everybody, for joining this record-breaking, in many ways, podcast. Cherie, first of all, have you had a good time, and how can people get in contact with you?
Well, first of all, I always have a good time on this podcast. This podcast is one of the best parts of my week. And people can reach me at Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever.
James Peckham, follow.
Hello, I'm on Twitter at JamesRWP. Please come to Tech Radar to learn all about the S21 and everything else. Thanks, bye.
John B.M. McCann.
I am John McCann. I am JJ McCann on Twitter. I am John B.M. McCann on Instagram. And sometimes I write stuff on techradar.com, a great source for technology buying advice.
Oh, John used to be your boss, Pexy. And I am Gareth Beavis. You can find me on Super Beav. But mainly the thing to look at is just at Tech Radar. Put it in anything. You'll find us. That's where we live. We do give you all the up-to-minute latest obsessive information about gadgets. The two Tech Radar fellows on this podcast getting absolutely spanked at CES knowledge doesn't help that as a pledge. But Cherie has shown that she really does love the show. So thank you, everybody, for being here. I've had a really good podcast, and hopefully we'll speak to you next week. So please do subscribe. Oh, before we go, we've got a new email address. So you can finally, after 50 episodes, correspond with us. And it is not the easiest to remember, but it is noisecancellingpodcast@futurenet.com. That's FUTURENET.com. Noisecancellingpodcast@futurenet.com. I'm not going to call out what I want to see. Just email us. We want to hear from you. If you have been listening to this for the first time, please do subscribe, Spotify, Apple. Give us a 5-star review. That really helps people find us. Pexy, final thoughts.
Just that cancelling in that email has 2 L's. Some people spell it with 1 L. Just wanted to point that out.
I feel like we
need a new email address. Let's go away and get a new email address between now and next week.
We'll forward this one on to the next one. But currently, noise cancelling with 2 L's podcast at futurenet.com. Bye, everyone. We're sorry we disappointed you. Bye.
Bye.
We might as well have just gone visit Tech Radar, https://. What's the point, man?